Welcome to the Father's Vineyard Audio Podcast. Here is today's message.
Revival's coming. Now, we share that with some people, and they'll say, oh, no. Look, you hadn't seen the world. I'm not looking at the world. My vision's higher. Amen. Is your vision higher? You know, there's a remnant. There, not just a remnant, but there is a harvest that God is going to gather in. He really is. He's in the process of doing it all over the world, and he's going to do it here in the U.S. Matter of fact, he might even start in California this morning. Now, there's a miracle. Well, there's a church. We need to pray for a church that they've been ordered not to meet. Been ordered not to meet. Cannot gather together and cannot meet. Well, in just a little time, just a few hours probably, I don't know, what are they, 3 hours behind? They'll be meeting. The pastor and the elder said, we're going to be meeting. And they sort of don't know what's going to happen, but they trust in the one who makes it happen. Amen. So let's pray for that church. I don't know the name of it. I don't remember the pastor's name, but I do know that it's about to happen this morning. So let's just say, Lord, start the revival there and let it spread all the way to the East Coast. Amen. Let's pray. God, we just thank you today that you're the great one. You're the only one that is great. And God, you're the one who holds the hearts of men in your hands. So God, we're asking you now to intervene in this situation in California. And we ask you to bless that. God, I pray it'll be their largest number ever. Their largest number. And we declare revival. Revival in California. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. You know, you and I can't make revival happen. You and I can't start it. But we know who does. But do you have a heart of anticipation that he's going to do it? I do. I really do. With all this stuff going on, I have a heart that with this full of excitement and anticipation that revival is just around the corner. And I honestly believe the hearts is going to be turned. There are going to be people be awakened. And the church is going to wake up. The church is going to not just wake up. The church is going to get up. And the church is going to be on the move. Amen. And we're going to be a people who have fear of nothing. Fear of nothing. The earthquake happened this morning and I didn't feel a thing. You know, neighbors of ours felt things. Y'all felt things and I didn't feel a thing. I really didn't feel nothing. And I heard it was in Sparta. Yes. Yeah, you got something? God Speak.
So that's not prophetic.
God Speak, Calvary Chapel. Let revival start right there, Lord. Just let it start burning right there. Bless that pastor. Bless that congregation. Fill them up. Fill them. Do what?
Pastor Rob.
I didn't get the. La Point. McCoy. Like a decoy. Rob McCoy, in Jesus' name, protect him, watch over him, fill him up with boldness and love. Let his love be overflowing in Jesus' name. Well, I sort of like that, don't you? Do it here, God. Do it here. How many of you will honestly say, not on a whim or in an emotional moment, how many of you will actually say, and I mean it with all my heart, start with me. Stand to your feet. Start with me. 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 Amen. Start with me. That's good stuff. You can be seated. Ooh. Revival is coming. Yeah, that's going to be good. Matthew 16. Matthew 16, verse 15. He tells us, he asks his disciples, "Who do you say that I am?" "Who do you say that I am?" Simon Peter answered and said, "Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God." And Jesus answered and said to him, "Blessed are you, Simon Barjona, because flesh and blood did not reveal this to you, but my Father who is in heaven is the one that told you that." Didn't come from man, it came from the Father. "And I also say to you that you are Peter, little rock. But upon this rock, upon this bedrock, upon this bedrock, I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail or overpower it. And I give you the keys to the kingdom of heaven." Are you want to be a part of what he's doing? Yes. Well, you got to be doing what he's doing. Not doing what a denomination's doing, not doing what somebody else is doing, but you got to be doing what he's doing. He is in the process of building a mighty, mighty body of Christ that can take on the gates of hell, the authority of hell, without any fear and with the knowledge of knowing that the gates of hell will not prevail against you. Well, that's a church. But see, that's the one that Jesus is building. And I'm determined to be part of it. I am determined to be part. How about you? You determined? You determined to be part of what he's building? The man has built a lot of stuff and called it church. So how's he going to do that? See, in this passage, you begin to see divine revelation. See, the rock that he's talking about building it upon is a revelation. The revealing of the Father. What the Father reveals. See, it's upon revelation that he's building. Listen, if he's not revealing to us, we don't know much. Look at Peter. Peter didn't know much until the Father revealed it to him, said, "This is what I want you to say. Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God." And Jesus knew. Ain't a man hadn't told you that. You got that from Daddy. And he said, upon this rock, upon revelation, the revealing of the Father, and from the Father, I'm building my church. So revelation coming to you is extremely important. What is God revealing to you as you read the scriptures? And then, and also in it is kingdom authority. What does kingdom authority represent? Gates of hell cannot overtake it. See, that's authority. When you can stand against everything that hell has to throw at you, and you're still standing, and you're still proclaiming. Look right at the gates of hell and say, "Revival is coming." And the heat, you can feel the heat from it. Revival is coming. You know, the whole thing is about what are we proclaiming and where are we standing and what are we doing? So you got divine revelation that he's building the church upon. That's the rock, the bedrock of revelation. Kingdom authority. And then also he said, "I give you the keys." So that's heavenly access. What do you need? You got keys in your pocket. Well, I tell you, it's a whole new world of looking at things. What is it? You got keys. He's giving you keys to the kingdom. You got access to all that heaven has. Whew. Access to all that heaven has. Access that all that heaven has. Well, how is he going to do this building of this church upon revelation and upon the authority and heavenly access? How's he going to do that? Well, I'm glad you asked that question. I want you to go to Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians chapter 4. He gave apostles and prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and teachers for the equipping of the saints for the work of the service to the building up of the body of Christ. He gave these men with these gifts, these people with this gift, these gifts to be able to equip the church. What's he doing? He's building that church. He's building his church. Well, I don't want to know what they have to say. Well, then you won't be built. You might be built by a man, but you won't be built by him. He's got a method to build the church that the gates of hell won't prevail against. And this is part of how he's doing it. He says, equipping the church. This word equipping means equipping the saints. He says, make fully ready to perfect. God's in the process of perfecting you and I. Amen. He goes on and says, why? He says, why? To the building up of the body of Christ. Why do we need to be built up? It means to be edified, to be built up. You need building up during the process of being perfected. Because sometimes being perfected has narrow places that you have to go through. And you need to be edified and built up during that. Who's going to do that? We are. We are. Or we can make it harder for people. That's not the way of God. To build them up, to encourage. When you see them down, look, don't kick them when they're down. That's the way, what's his name? Festus did on Gunsmoke. He went by and had a man down and he kicked him. And he was in a fight with him and while he's down, he kicked him. And Matt Diddle said, what are you doing kicking him? He's already down. He said, well, you ain't a Hagin unless you kick him while he's down. Why? Because I don't want him getting back up. We're not kicking. You know, we have wounded soldiers on the battlefield. We had wounded warriors on the battlefield. And we act like it's like, oh, well, they'll be okay. No, he's saying, my church is going to be building each other up. My church is going to be, the church that I build, Jesus is going to be building each other up, not tearing people down. Building them up. Building up the body to be encouraged in the process. In verse 13, until we all attain, which means to, which we all arrive. How many is going to arrive? Say it again. All. If you see somebody that's not yet arrived, what do? We bring them on. We go get them. And we help them to arrive. To what? What are we going to attain? What are we going to arrive to? It says the unity of the faith, which is oneness of the faith. We are one. And we join in with the prayer. Lord, we agree with the prayer of Jesus. Lord, make us one. Make us one. That's the reason we have to tear down dividing walls. Make us one. That was Jesus' prayer. Make them one as we are one. Until we all come in and arrive to oneness in faith. This thing about this word faith here means full, firm persuasion and trust in God. I'm fully and firmly persuaded that I can trust God no matter where I'm at. Fully and firmly persuaded that I can trust him. How many of you are there? You know, sometimes we can have the smallest of things happen, and all of a sudden we drift. We wonder, God, what are you up to? Why is this happening? Why am I going through this? And all of a sudden it's why, instead of, I love you. This is hard. This is rough. But you're carrying me through it. I'm going to get through it. I don't understand it, but I'm going to get through it. I'm going to make it. And I'm going to be built up. And I'm going to attain the very fullness of my trust in you without any wavering. Any wavering. Full persuasion. And then it goes on and says, by the way, before I leave that, this thing about oneness, we're going to have to make a commitment that we will not be divided. That's going to have to come from the core of who we are. We will not be divided. This nation is being torn apart. Why? We're divided as a people. What are they looking for? They're looking for something that they don't know. Who's going to bring it? The church is going to be bringing it. You hear me? We have to make the declaration we will not be divided. Then he goes on and says, this thing, until we attain the unity of faith, you carry that same thing over on the next one about the knowledge of the Son of God. Until we attain the unity or the oneness of the knowledge of the Son of God. It doesn't mean just I know he's the Son of God. It's not that shallow. That means this. This thing about coming to a oneness together about the Son of God, of the Son of God. This knowledge means to be participating in the powerful attributes of Jesus. To participate. It doesn't mean just to know about. It means to participate in the attributes of Jesus. His character and his attitude. His character and his attitude. You're participating. In other words, when you come to the oneness of this thing, it will mean that this has laid claim on your life with personal involvement. It'll lay claim on your life with a personal involvement. It's being engaged by doing. Be engaged in the process of doing what you know. People that just know without doing, God has something to say about that. He really does. Hopefully we'll get to it today. He goes on and he says the attributes of the participating, this knowing who the Son of God is, it's you and I to be participating, doing the things that Jesus is either doing or has done. Yeah, he told us, he said, greater than these, you're going to be doing greater things than what I'm doing. This is revival. Do you hear me? We all want revival, but all of a sudden, when revival doesn't come the way you think it is, we miss it. See, if you've ever got a preconceived idea of what revival is going to look like, guess what? It's probably not going to be that. Some of us want revival in a way that we're used to in the past. Well, this is what revival looked way back then. Well, that was way back then. I'm telling you, this is revival. This right here, you get you and I to be so well trained and so well disciplined to the place that we participate in the very character and attitude of Jesus Christ, you have been revived. You have, why? You won't, nothing will hold you back. You see sick people, guess what you'll do? Lay hands on them. Are you with me? You see people that's riddled with darkness and demons, what you going to do? You're going to cast them out. See, this is the revival that he's asking for us to be a part of. Well, what about all the signs and wonders? Great. But we don't follow signs and wonders. Let me say that again. We don't follow signs and wonders. We look behind us and the works that we're doing, we look and say, signs and wonders just happened. They're behind us. They're not in front of us. If you start getting led by signs and wonders, You'll be led by the false signs and wonders that come. Signs and wonders follow us. Say, they follow us. Why? Because he's leading us to go do things and we just lay hands on things and all of a sudden here's a sign and a wonder. Here's a healing. Here's a deliverance. Why? It's because we showed up. Did what God wanted us to do. We wasn't afraid. We had no reputation. We had no reputation. We had no reputation. Well, what if they think bad? Well, let them think. Do. No, here, do. No, here, do. That's what he's wanting us to do. And he says, hey, till you get to the place that this thing lays captive on you, your personal involvement, that just has to happen. And said, until you come to a mature man, in other words, you're growing up, you're complete, you're being completed. You're no longer a child. You're growing up. That's internal. That's internal transformation. Everybody say internal transformation. See, that's real change. That's true change. Internal transformation. That's the change that he's looking for. That's the revival that he's calling for. You know, we live in a world that there's so many voices out there, so many things being told that we need to be doing, what we don't need to be doing. We need to follow the antics of the world. You know, that's a wrong voice. Amen. Now, if you're not internally changed, you can be led to follow that voice. Why? Because you're so familiar with it. He said, I don't want you to be familiar with that. I want you to be familiar with what I'm telling you. And I'm growing you up to this place that you'll have a revival and you'll start revival. Because he's the starter. He's the igniter. And then he goes on and says, and see, this mature man, this is what we talked about the other week, is you're already out of Egypt, but what he's in the process of doing is getting the Egypt out of you. The ways that we've learned, that we've been accustomed to. And he's in the process of getting that out. He says, to the measure of the stature which belongs to the fullness of Christ. Marvin, come on up. Sean, come on up. You get on this side. You get on this side. Y'all get a little closer. Okay, come on a little closer. There you go. Now mess with me. Yeah, I can do it with an attitude. Come on, now mess with me. No, listen, here's the point. Am I supposed to be this big? Am I supposed to be this big? What's the answer? No. They are just like God made them physically. I am, and so is Marvin. Just like God made them. The measure of their physical stature is from God. He gave it to them. He didn't give that to me. If anybody calls me a squirt, I'm messing with you. I'm really messing with you. Look at it, he's a little squirt. You know. But you see here, so if I try to put it in my head, I really got to be like these two. I'm going to be frustrated, aggravated, and tormented because it's not going to happen. Is it? It's true. So this is not my measure in my physical being. True? But these guys are just great. My new bodyguards. I'm messing with you. God bless you. Thank you so much. So, yeah. So I can strain, I can eat, I can stretch, I can do all kinds. That's not going to happen. So I cannot choose them as my measure. True. But he says this, spiritually, I can pick neither one of these men to be my measure either. They cannot pick me, even though I'm their pastor. They cannot pick me to be their measure of their spiritual walk with God. Because the Bible says the measure of the stature of Christ, it belongs to him, and it belongs to the, everybody say the word fullness. The fullness of Christ is my measure. So what measure are you receiving to measure yourself spiritually? It can't be one another. It can't be somebody that you really do love the way they speak, really love the way they act, you love the way they can't, that cannot be your measure in your spiritual life. It only belongs to Christ. It only belongs to Jesus. Until you come to the measure of the stature of how he has developed. See, Jesus in his life increased. Listen to this. He was 12, and he got disconnected from his family. He was still, they left him. They came back and found him. And the Bible says, after that little talk with the family, the Bible says, and Jesus continued to increase in wisdom and stature. He continued to increase. You and I need to continue to increase in the fullness of Jesus. You and I cannot just, I want to choose this as my measure. You're using an inferior measure to be measured by. Just like it would be an inferior measure if I tried to measure my physical being to these two men. I would be frustrated, aggravated, and I'd never achieve it. Got it? So the measure that we need to measure ourselves with is the fullness of Christ. This word fullness means, you ready? This word fullness, the fullness of Christ, are you ready? It means performance. You are measuring the fullness of Christ. You're being measured by the fullness. You're measuring by the performance. How is your performance as opposed to how Christ would perform? How is your doing as opposed to how is Christ? How did he do it and how is he doing? Big difference. That's the reason you cannot choose man. You cannot choose a denomination. You cannot choose a political party. They're all inferior. It's him. It is the fullness of who he is. That is the only standard that we need to measure ourselves with. And by. Isn't that good? Get your eyes off of man. Man is here to help us grow. But if they're not helping you grow to the image of Christ, then you're listening to the wrong man. If it's all about him, you need to move on. If it's all about that man, you need to move on. If it's all about that one man, you need to move on.
You're talking about being the fullness of the measure of Christ, and it's not about a man. You're also talking about unity. And I work in a technology space, as you know, and I saw something last night that kept me up for hours. I want everybody to write this down. Be a Berean spirit. I'm not a conspiracy theorist, okay? Check behind me. But there's a software called Deep Fake Software. It's developed by MIT. They've already done this with President Obama, religious leaders, and other people. I can take a video of you speaking, a recording of you talking. They can, through computers, apply it to my face. And then I can talk and sound exactly like you to say anything I want. And I just believe we as the church, if we're going to be united, we need to be as wise as serpents and harmless as doves. And the only way we stay united is to keep our eyes on Him.
Amen.
Because in today's technological world and the environment we live in, you could see Pastor Terry Howe standing right here and saying, what I've been teaching you guys is all fake. I don't even believe it. That's the world we live in, and that's what we've got to understand.
Amen. Amen. No, sorry. We need that. See, that's the body working. I didn't stay up all night. He did. Oh, yeah, I got it.
What was that source again, please?
Deep fake software. Deep fake software. But let me clear something else up. Y'all ready? This is me. Is this me, Brenda? This is me. I know crazy software. Mm-mm. But see, he brings up a good point. You have to be wise, and you have to be keeping your eyes on. So what does that mean? It means, oh, Pastor Terry's on TV. Let me hear what he has to say. He's my pastor. Yeah, but see, it could be me. You say, well, I want to hear him. And then all of a sudden, it says something that is not normal from Pastor Terry. So how do you check that out? By the Spirit. And sometimes, well, you can do what, Pat? You can call Pastor Terry and say, hey, I just saw you on TV and you said all this stuff is fake. I never said that. That wasn't me. I mean, we live in a world that has the deception process almost mastered. And I've got to close. Thank you, brother, for sharing that. We need that. See, he wants to take us from just not from an intellectual gospel to a gospel that can be verified by somebody living it out. He wants to take us from just an intellectual gospel to a gospel that is verified by somebody living it out. And James says this, be ye doers of the word and not hearers only, watch this, deceiving yourselves. When you fail to do, listen to this, when you fail to do what you have heard, self-deception has already started. When you fail to do, to act out, to live out what you have heard from the Lord, self-deception has already begun. That's what the Bible says. See, so many people are deceived not because of all the other stuff. It's because the lack of obeying the word from the Lord. Boy, that's powerful, isn't it? That's powerful. So we need to know Him in order to show Him. We got to know Him in order to do what He says to do, to show Him, to show Him to the world in our doing. We got to know about so we can go about. He went about doing what? Jesus went about doing good. Not only that, what was he doing? He was healing people and casting out devils. Doing good. He was just going about doing good. You know, to hear without obeying gives the lead role in your life to carnality. To hear without obeying lends over the key leadership in your life to carnality. Why? Because you'll be reasoning. You'll be subject to all this. It's just reason instead of revelation. This is revival. Check it out. We need to be checking out everything. We really do, because Terry's right. I mean, there's so many things that you can Photoshop. You can do all this stuff with this software that he's talking about that can make it look like you. Might make it look like Jesus. That's a thought. We're living in a time where deception is real strong. But we're also living in a time where the truth is more powerful than any deception that we have. Than any lie that's out there. Well, did you learn anything today? Part two, I almost said tomorrow. I sort of wished it was tomorrow. Part two will be 14. As a result, we'll be talking about, once this stuff up here happens, here's the results of being in this revival that he's talking about. Amen? Amen. Online streamers, thank you so much for being with us today. And don't forget to look at our videos for the children, for our preschool, and for the kids' church as well. It's for you. They have the nursery, they have the songs, and they have the teaching. They have all that stuff for them. Plus, they have little buttons underneath the video that has activities for your children to participate in. And we thank you for coming, and we bless you in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, church, this is a time where God is really moving. Will we move with him is the question that we have to answer. Amen. I want you to stand to your feet. If there is anyone here that does not know Christ as your Savior, if there's anyone here that you have never surrendered your life to Jesus, you've been to church a long time. Maybe you went through and you said some things, but deep down you just know that there has not been a complete change of your life deep inside. If that's you, I'd like for you to come down, and we would like to take the time to share with you the Jesus whom we're talking about. If that's anyone, I want you to just step forward. Okay. Charlie, come on up here real quick. Get your guitar. Don't you just love this man? Don't you love the praise team? You know what I'm asking for?
Yes, I mean.
Okay. See, he... This will be how we end today. Robbie.
Revival.
Is Robbie still here? No, he done skedaddled. All right. You ready? 1, 2, 3, 4.
Revival is coming. Revival is coming. Revival is coming. Revival is coming.
Yeah.
Thank you for listening to the Father's Vineyard podcast. If you'd like more information about Father's Vineyard, please visit us 24/7 at www.fathersvineyard.org. or you can call the office at 828-287-2868. Thanks again.